I came walking out of my office this morning wielding a stick, and people in the hallway immediately thought that I was here to bring the wrath this morning. Unfortunately, that's a terrible misconception about what we want to talk about today. Last week, we got halfway through the 23rd Psalm, and we get to verse 4, and verse 4, the conversation shifts. In the first part of the verse, the writer is talking from the vantage point of a sheep, and it's almost like we're having a conversation over the back fence, right? Hey, let me tell you about the Lord. He's my shepherd. And because I'm his sheep and he's my shepherd, I'm never going to be in want. And here's what he does for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to the quiet waters. He restores my soul for his name's sake. And then we get to verse 4 and the conversation shifts. Now we're not talking over the fence anymore. Now all of a sudden, David is talking to the shepherd himself. And David says, and shepherd, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's an excitement that is attached to this conversation. He knows that in this valley, that the shepherd that he's been talking about is all sufficient. And that the shepherd has the tools that are necessary to provide for him in the valley of the shadow of death. And in that valley, he fears nothing that is evil because the Lord is with him. The shepherd is with him. And he has a rod. And the rod comforts him. If I walk in and start wielding this, are you going to feel comforted? No. I even intimidated Jerome Coleman, and that's hard to do. No, but that's because we don't understand the function of the rod. We think about the function of the rod, and we think that the rod is used to... I got that when I was growing up. We didn't call it a rod, we called it a wooden spoon, or a fly swatter, or a flip-flop, or whatever my mother could get her hands on at the time when I needed it. Not the intention and not the purpose of this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything that I need, even in the valley of the shadow of death. The rod that is talked about here is not for punishing, but it is for guarding and it is for protecting. And it is wielded with great power and great authority by the shepherd. We get a picture of the shepherd's authority. We get a picture of the shepherd's power to guard and to protect when we look at John chapter 10. It's a long passage, but it needs to be read. Verses 1 through 18. Jesus is speaking. The good shepherd is speaking. And he says, truly I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is a figure of speech that Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus says to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not the shepherd, who does not know the sheep. And when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Do you get the message? All right. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not in this fold, but I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be, say it with me, one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. You say, well, he doesn't even talk about the rod in that whole passage. No, what he talks about is he talks about his authority. And he talks about his authority to be the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life. John chapter 10 is a passage about relationship. And Jesus says that I'm the shepherd and that you are the sheep. Or you have the possibility of being my sheep. And I bring my sheep into the sheep pen. I'm the gate. You say, well, how does that speak of relationship? Well, how does the sheep get in the sheep pen? Well, I'll tell you. They enter the sheep pen under the rod of the shepherd. Because the shepherd stands at the opening of the sheep pen. And as the sheep walk by, he taps them. And he goes, Zach, and Freya, and Raul, and Debbie, and each sheep comes under his rod, and he is tapped, and he is numbered, and he is called by name. And under the rod of the shepherd, there is relationship. You are uniquely you. And he knows you by name, and he cares for you, and he counts you under the rod of his care, under the rod of his protection. You're in relationship with him. He knows you by name. Jesus is always about the one. I think that's one of the amazing lessons that we learn from him. He went one-on-one with Nicodemus. He went one-on-one with the woman at the well. He went one-on-one with the man at the pool of Bethesda. He went one-on-one with the man blind from birth. He went one-on-one with Jairus about his daughter. He went one-on-one with the man possessed in the graveyard. He went one-on-one with the woman with the issue of the blood. One time he was walking from the road to Jericho and he saw a little dude up in a tree and he said, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house for dinner. Jesus went one-on-one because Jesus redeems individuals, not groups. You don't get into a relationship with the shepherd by riding grandma and grandpa's coattails or by riding the spiritual exploits of your mom and of your dad. The shepherd who wields the rod of protection and authority over letting the sheep in and out of the sheep pen is interested in a one-on-one relationship with the sheep. He's interested in a one-on-one relationship with you. And so when we find ourselves under the rod of the good shepherd, there is relationship. David said, I'm walking in this valley of the shadow of death, but you are with me. David says it's about relationship. I quoted last week Zig Ziglar. And Zig Ziglar said a decade or so ago, maybe a decade and a half or so ago now, that it is impossible to find peace by avoiding life. It is impossible to find peace by avoiding life. David says you find life in the shepherd. I can be in this valley of the shadow of death because you are with me. There is relationship here. I don't have to avoid life to find peace. I can find peace in the valley because Jesus, the good shepherd, redeems the one, not the group. Do you hear the shepherd's voice today? Do you know the shepherd's voice today? When he calls you, can he call you by name because you have chosen to enter into the fold through him? Jesus says, let all who have ears, let them hear. I'm the good shepherd. Hear my voice. Hear my voice. Under the rod of the good shepherd, there is relationship, but under the rod of the good shepherd, there is also refuge. It is true that this stick could be used as discipline. Philip Keller, in his little book that talks about shepherding the sheep, He says, once in a while the rod would be used to throw at a sheep if the sheep was wandering off into a dangerous place, that the shepherd could throw the rod and could startle the sheep, or, you know, but it was never thrown at the sheep to hit the sheep. Because if you hit the sheep, then you have startled it and you can cause all kinds of havoc in the herd. But they would throw it to kind of say, hey, don't go over that way, go over a different direction. But the rod was typically used for protection. John 10:10 talks about the wolf. And the rod was used to bash the skull of the wolf. The rod is used to break the ribs of the fox. The rod is used to defeat the enemy. The rod is used to give you a place of refuge so that you and I as dumb sheep aren't destroyed by the enemy. Again, Philip Keller says, sheep are among the most helpless and dumbest of all livestock. They often hammer and batter each other. They will run off in a panic from the least threat of an unknown danger. I have seen an entire flock rush away in blind fear simply because one of them was startled by a rabbit bursting out from beneath a bush. On the other hand, in a peculiar manner, they will sometimes stand still and stare blankly when threatened. And as the predator approaches, they will huddle up in a frightened knot and watch blindly while one of the flock is torn to pieces by a wolf or by a bear. And the shepherd brings the rod to defend the sheep, frightened and frozen by fear from the wolf or from the bear. When you look at the picture of the sheepfold, Jesus says, I lay my life in that sheepfold. We think, well, Jesus is talking about the cross. Yes, that's true. But there's also a metaphorical picture here of how he, as the shepherd, lays down in that doorway when the sheep begin to bed down for the night. And he puts his back up against one side and he props his legs up on the other side, and he's got the rod in his arms, or he lays the rod in his lap. He always keeps it close by, because he has the power and the authority to lay down in that doorway to protect the sheep that know him by name, that have been counted under his rod of protection. And if the wolf comes, whack! He defends. He protects. There is refuge under the rod of the shepherd. And David says, this rod brings me comfort. I don't fear that rod at all. It comforts me because I know that it's there to beat off the things that would come against me. He literally places his body in the doorway to protect the sheep. And these things bring me comfort. We talked about this a little bit last week, but the Bible doesn't say that we're spared from dark valleys. We're not. Instead, it says we walk through them as life experiences, but we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be paralyzed. We don't have to huddle ourselves in our little church clusters and watch the enemy pick people off from the outside. We are protected by the power and the authority of the shepherd who wields the rod of protection. The writer of Hebrews uses the word scepter. You can go all the way back to the hieroglyphs of old Egypt, and you see the pharaohs with a staff in one hand and a scepter in the other. The scepter represents his power and his authority to wield and to protect the people under his care. But to the Son, he says, Hebrews chapter 1 is talking about the supremacy of Christ, the supremacy of the Good Shepherd. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with the scepter of justice. You love justice. You hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. He also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you will remain forever. They will wear out like old clothes. You will wear them like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever. And God has never said to any of the angels, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Why? Because the angels don't have the authority to wield the rod. But Christ does. And the rod of Christ is designed to give you refuge. One of the verses I love most in the Old Testament is found in Exodus chapter 14. And the children of Israel have been released by Pharaoh, and they're out wandering and headed to find the promised land. And they come to the place where they don't know what to do because the sea is before them, the cliffs are beside them, and Pharaoh's army is coming up from behind them. And Moses walks up and he says these words, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemies that you see today, you will see them no more forever. And you know how the story ends. The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. He has the authority to wield the rod. It is not to be feared, it is to be embraced. Under the rod of the Good Shepherd, you have relationship. Under the rod of the Good Shepherd, you have refuge, but under the rod of the Good Shepherd, you also have rest. You have rest. The sheep sleep well in the pen, knowing that the rod of the Good Shepherd has brought them in and that the shepherd himself rests in the doorway. You are with me, David said. Your rod protects me. You sleep in the gate, Jesus said. Proverbs chapter 3 says that when you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will lie down and your sleep will be pleasant. Why? Because the Good Shepherd has the power and has the authority to grant you that rest. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me. If you are burdened and weary and laden down, and I will give you rest. The rest provided by Christ's salvation is not through creed. It is not through church. It is not through ritual. It is not through sacrament. It is not through pastor or priest. It is not through any other means but Christ alone. Christ says, come to me. He's the Good Shepherd. He has the power and the authority of wielding the rod of protection, the rod of rest, the rod of refuge, the rod of relationship. You are counted. What does come to me look like? What does it mean? It means to believe to the point of submission. Rarely do I use the phrase believing in Jesus Christ. I always use the phrase believing in and belonging to Jesus Christ. And the reason I put the belonging to in there is because it is a denotation of lordship. There are many who believe. The Bible says the demons believe and they tremble. But the demons aren't born again because the demons have not submitted to his lordship. You can believe in Christ and not belong to him. As a result of not belonging to him, there is no rest. As a result of living as a wayward sheep, there is no rest. But to those who will choose to live under the rod of protection and refuge and relationship, there is rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest. James says your faith without the works to back that faith up is dead. Under the protection, under the rod of the Good Shepherd, there is relationship and refuge and rest. But you also need to know that there is renewal. There is renewal under the rod of the Good Shepherd. There is the opportunity to be different and changed because of the relationship with the Good Shepherd. Jesus says that a thief comes to steal and destroy. The thief won't enter through the gate that you've seen in the pen. The thief will jump the fence and try to take a shortcut to get to the sheep. The shepherd says, no, those are just thieves and robbers, and they're only here to destroy. I'm the good shepherd. I have the authority to lay down my life in this gate, and you get to come out and go in based on your access to me. There are green pastures that are associated with that. I am the good shepherd. And in me there is renewal. We fight a battle day in and day out that we don't often recognize, and that is the battle of spiritual forces in dark places. It rears its ugly head and it drives wedges in our life. Wedges of fear, wedges of anxiety, wedges of frustration, wedges of hopelessness. And the word here, the word abundance, oh, we have perverted this word almost beyond repair. We equate abundance to a fat wallet. We equate abundance to a nice house and a fast car. And none of that is what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is talking about, and what the word, it's really a hard word to translate, because basically what it means is an upgrade. If you come to Christ, you get an upgraded life. Not with a fatter wallet and a faster car, but with the blessings and the richness that He has to offer, with the green pastures, with the still waters, with the peace that passes understanding, not that the world gives, but a peace that only He can give that the world doesn't understand. 2 summers ago, we were going to Kentucky to visit Debbie's family. And in the process of doing that, I always rent a car just because my car won't make it that far, or I'm afraid to try to push it to make it that far. And so they were very busy at Dollar, and when I got there, they were like, look, we're just giving people whatever the next car is off the wash line. And so they were washing cars, and the next one that pulled around, you got that one. I had paid for a Toyota Corolla. I'm the next in line, and around the corner comes a brand new Ford Mustang convertible. Oh, man. And then it dawned on me. Seth 6:3. Debbie and Tabitha are also going to be in the car, and these things have almost zero back seat. As much coveting is going on in my heart right now, I can't take that car. And there was a little couple on a honeymoon behind me, and they'd just gotten off the plane, and they were here in Houston, and they were going to hang around in the Houston area and Galveston and all that kind of stuff for their honeymoon. And I looked at them, and I said, would you guys like that Mustang convertible? And the little girl's face just got all bright and shiny. And she's like, yeah, we'd love to do that. And so I gave them the Mustang convertible. And then I'm waiting, right? And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I did my good deed for today. I'm expecting the Yaris to come around the corner. And you know what the next thing was around the corner? An Infiniti Q50 with a 5-liter engine and a Bose 12-speaker sound system with a subwoofer built in to the little console in the back seat. And the little lady looked at me that worked for Dollar, and she said, would an Infiniti Q50 be an acceptable upgrade? I'm like, yes, ma'am, That'll be just fine. And so I got in that car and I had the time of my life. It was great. The only blessing to the fact that Seth broke his collarbone on that trip is that I got to make 4 trips back and forth to Lubbock, Texas in that Q50. It was a sweet deal. It was an upgrade. I paid for the Toyota Corolla. I got the Q50. When Jesus says, I'm here to help you have an abundant life, He's not talking about a fat wallet or a faster car. What He's saying is that I am here to give you blessings that you don't expect and that you don't understand and that you don't know how to repay. So stop driving the Corolla. Stop living a Corolla life when I want you to have a Q50 life. And again, I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about spirit. Why are you loving like a Toyota Corolla when you could be loving like a Q50? Why are you not living in peace like a Yaris when you could be living in peace like a Q50? Why do you not practice or have joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control like a Toyota Corolla when I want you to have joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness like a Q50? I am the gate, Jesus says. And if you enter through me, you will be saved. You will come in and find rest, and you will go out and find pasture, and under my rod of protection, you will find renewal. For even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. My rod protects you. Be comforted by the rod. Don't be afraid of it. Under the rod of the Good Shepherd, we have relationship and refuge and rest and renewal. Don't be afraid of the rod. Ask the shepherd to comfort you with the rod.